Hello and welcome to Grace Unscripted, where we share stories of the people in and around Grace Church without any script, just real, raw conversations about life change through Jesus. I'm your host, Audrey Wallace, and today our guest is Kayla Ramada. Now, you might recognize that last name because just last episode, we interviewed her husband, Tim Ramada. So after you listen to Kayla, jump back and listen to Tim as well. And I love when we get to have a couple back-to-back like this because we hear both sides of their stories because we guys, if you're married, if you're longing to be married, it's two people, two individual stories, which much of our lives are lived separately, and then we draw them together. And guess what? That's really hard. And I love Kayla's vulnerability. I love the fact that she has processed through in spaces that have brought her to we talk about recovery versus being recovered, just to this space of victory that she can share vulnerably with us here today, in order to give somebody else who might be in the middle of something that she is on the other side of hope and also someone to talk to. So if you hear anything today that resonates for you, I highly encourage you to reach out to us so we can talk. Good morning, Kayla.
Good morning, Audrey.
Usually we record unscripted in the evenings, but we got up bright and early for this one.
Yes, we did. I'm a morning person, actually, so this works a lot better.
Have you always been a morning person?
No, not until I had kids.
Yeah.
And I realized I need to get up in the morning and get stuff done, like
but
work
then
out
your rhythm,
my Bible
your
time
flow,
before.
Your pattern, mm-hmm. You got into it, and yeah. now you're yep. an early bird.
So this is a God thing.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm glad that worked out. I spent my life as a night owl. And I would actually pray. I would say, God, please make me a morning person. Mm-hmm. I want to be an early bird. And I feel like I lost my night owl niche, but I never really gained the morning bird, and I need a nap in the afternoon too. So
right.
I don't know what that's about, but I know what you're saying. Like the patterns, if you wake up early,
yeah.
your brain just kind of starts waking up.
Yes. It's so hopefully nice. I won't be like stumbling over my words as much as I would be if it was an evening session.
Perfect.
So
well, it's yep. already worked out for good.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yep.
Okay, great. Well, you and I have spent some time in rooms with training mm-hmm. sessions and groups and ways that we've served in ministry together, but we've never looked each other in the eyes and had a conversation like this.
Yeah. There's been so many times we've been in the same room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Finally.
I love it when we get to do it.
We've talked on the phone, too, about Jesus community mm-hmm. for like an hour one time.
We did.
I remember I was in Target just walking around because I couldn't check out yet, but it was all about just yeah. more professional type of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's dive in
go.
Even deeper.
Yeah.
So I literally know nothing about your life. Did you grow up in the Akron area?
Yeah. So I grew up in Strongsville.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but then I went to St. Joseph and John. School.
Okay, that's elementary.
Yeah, up uh-huh. until eighth grade,
uh-huh.
where my mom worked. I actually had her as a teacher.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
My brother and I both went there. Sports was a huge part of our lives, just kind of like how Tim was
yes.
mentioning. I played volleyball and
fast
pitch.
And I do want to pause and acknowledge that the very last episode was your husband. Yeah. Tim,
yes.
as you just mentioned. So if anybody is listening to yours, they should go back and listen to his next or vice versa if you've already heard his. So this is perfect timing.
Yes.
So you were a sports person too.
I was.
Up.
Yep. Okay. It was a huge part of our life. But then my parents also made going to the Catholic Church every Sunday a priority. Even if we were super busy with sports, mm-hmm. we always tried no matter what to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very appreciative of my brother and my foundation growing up.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a huge part of that. He always had his Bible open up in the morning.
Wow.
I still remember that. And actually, my daughters have mentioned that too lately. Like, mm. Papa always has his Bible open, and I know he's doing his Bible time in the mornings like you
wow.
do, Mom.
Such a gift.
Yeah. And then my grandma was a huge mentor in my life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So God has always been a part of my life, mm-hmm. a foundation. But the problem was I never really questioned that and like, why do I believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll get to that. But I could still tell you about
Interesting. So like God just always there and
yeah, always there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is a gift.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's probably some turbulence at some point
yeah.
that makes
yeah.
you start
we'll get to that.
Ask
yeah.
the question. So St. Joseph
and John
okay.
in Strongsville.
Until eighth grade, didn't
Yep. Then I went to Strongsville High School.
Oh, geez, that's a
yes.
big one. That's a big leap.
So I never really realized how hard that was until, like, I've been going through counseling in the past couple years, mm-hmm. and wow, that was a really hard time in my life, and I didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
It go from, like, 60 kids to graduating with 160. Like, it was a big jump.
Yes, yeah. That's a tough school. I don't want to say a tough school. I have cousins that went there. So I just remember being, I was a country girl, and they went to Strongsville. It was such a different life for them as compared to what I went. We had driver tractor school day, and they had a mall.
Right, yeah. So I do remember it being all built up. Like, mm-hmm. when we first moved there, when I was four, I still remember, like, South Park Mall was not there.
Yeah.
So they we were able to see it all built, be Anyways. Built up. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool. So through Strongsville, what sports were a big part of your life?
Softball and volleyball. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I played volleyball my freshman year, which was awesome because that's when I met someone who went to Grace CMA Church.
Oh, yes.
And that's the first time I truly felt when I walked into that church. I didn't know what it was, but it was the Holy Spirit. My grandma explained the whole thing to me.
Wow.
So I just walked out like feeling so different.
Yeah. So did a friend invite you to Grace and then you kept going?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like a youth group or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. And then I would just go by myself on Sundays.
And did you go to Catholic church as well?
At like Easter and Christmas with my family.
I remember when because I grew up Methodist, and I started finding like an evangelistic church, and I felt like I still went to my Methodist ritualistic church, and then I went to this thing I enjoyed, and I really felt fed at, you know, separately, but I still felt like my ritual was needed to be full or complete or something. I don't know. Like, that transition was strange for me. Is that a little bit what it was like for you?
Yeah, definitely. It was just, going back and forth, and there's no right or wrong way to worship. Like, if you just have a relationship with Christ, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
So I just found, I was fulfilled more going to Grace than the Catholic Church. And there's nothing wrong with going to the Catholic Church as long as you have that relationship with Christ.
That's
it's
right.
okay.
That's right.
Most of my family all is Catholic still. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, But anyways.
Okay, so high school. Softball, volleyball.
And that now is a huge part of, like, my story when I look back. My junior year, I played varsity fast pitch, and we had a lot of issues with the coach, more like politics type of thing. So I didn't play my senior year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge change. I mean, sports was my life up until junior year, and then I didn't have it, and it's your senior year, and, you know, all the things. So, and then also looking back now, my senior year, I found out something just kind of devastating with my family's past. And that really took a huge hit on me. I didn't know it at the time, but now going through my whole healing process with my marriage, it was a huge part of it. So then I went to college at Walsh University, where I did meet Tim. And that was the time where I just fell away from the Lord. I went to nursing school. It was hard. I started getting involved with just drinking on the weekends. Too hungover to go to church in the mornings. Mm-hmm. There were some great churches around there that I could have, you know, found and really took off with my relationship with the Lord, but I went the other way.
Yeah. So then did you do any kind of sports in college? Like,
no.
When I'm thinking identity, right? You had a sports identity maybe. And, and you were growing that at Grace, but then if you've lost Grace, you've lost sports.
Then nursing and getting great, perfect grades if I could. I mean, there's a lot of tears during that time. And I was very depressed during that. I was so lost during my college years.
Yeah.
Even, like, a couple of my friends were like, you need to go see a counselor. Which I did. I went one time, and I never went back until the past couple of years with a Christian one, because I mentioned to her, like, I don't feel beautiful. I just feel ugly. And she basically said, look, have you looked in the mirror lately? Like, look in the mirror. You're gorgeous. There's nothing wrong with you. And so I was like, I basically walked out. It's like, so much for that, and I didn't try.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Counseling can be really, you got to find your right fit, of course. That's one huge variable, but also it's deep and soul searching, and it's going to go through a bunch of bumps that you kind of have to just hang on tight.
Until I found a good one this past couple of years, it's been, life changing. Yeah.
Okay, so college, hard, dark, identity.
Yep.
Making some choices that you don't wish that you would have made.
Yep.
Met Tim. Okay. Was that early college, mid-college?
My freshman year.
Okay.
Yeah. Been with him since freshman year. Graduated in 2012 from Walsh, and then I got a job at the Cleveland Clinic, stayed at home with my parents for 3 years to pay off student loans while Tim was a minor league umpire. Don't think he mentioned that. So he was traveling for a couple years. We did a lot of long distance. But I was just, at that time, it didn't really matter to me. I was so focused on work and getting the hang of it. And and it was fun traveling out to see him and whatnot. So then once he quit umpiring, we got married in 2015. Started going to church again. Again, it was more that foundation. We thought that's what you had to do. We're getting married. We just go to church. That's what you do.
Well, and you probably, did you get married in the Catholic Church? Or
no, we got married at Grace.
At Grace, okay. And they had probably the premarital stuff and things that drew you back into that rhythm as well.
And then we heard a sermon on baptism, and we ended up getting baptized in 2016, and that's a huge part of our story. We get baptized, and what do you do next? Like, we truly believe, we want to follow Christ, but we had no community, no discipleship. And honestly, my whole life, I felt like, I don't know, this is just that discipleship. What do you do with it? Why do you believe in God? Not just because that's what you were told to do. I still even remember my high school friend, I think it was in college, we were sitting down, and she goes to me, like, why do you believe the Bible? Like, how do you know if it's even true? And I didn't know how to answer that. And now I look, I'm like, no, it's actually the, he changed my life now. Completely changed our lives, which I'll get to. But that's the whole thing. It's like, how does Jesus actually change me? Not the Bible's true. You go to church just because I was told to do that.
Your parents' legacy faith or your religion's legacy faith versus your own personal relationship with Jesus. I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. And some of us might even think, I know I felt it myself, like, oh, my story, it's not this big transformation or anything, but it's just, it's still real. And once you have it, you know. And if you don't have it, you might not even realize it, maybe.
Like, I didn't have a story until 5 years ago. There was no, I believed in God and that was it. But I was empty inside. My life was a mess. It looked perfect on the outside, but inside I was so empty.
So what happened next?
So then we moved a bunch. We were in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, had our first child. Then we moved to Columbus, and I had our second child in 2020. They're 20 months apart. So that was the time when I just started becoming very bitter towards Tim. Just with his sins and what I thought marriage was going to be, it wasn't. So I just focused on my girls, and that was it. We did attend a church every week for the most part, but again, wasn't in any small groups, not doing any Bible studies. We just went to go. And then it was in 2021, I sat Tim down and was like, I am so over this. Like, we're going to be roommates or we get a divorce. Like, I don't know what else to do. And, but God saved us. God's like, nope, there's another way. There's a third way. Like, turn towards me. And so Tim and I both started running after Jesus again, started getting discipleship. And Tim's the one who knew. He's like, we just don't have anyone, like, guiding us. We don't know what to do. And so he went through his whole journey that he talked about last week. And then for me, I just started getting back into the Bible again. Like, I know all the stories. I know all the foundation. But actually having the Bible transform me. And then we moved during that time, too, again, back to Cleveland, where we found Grace. And we just jumped all in here because we knew we needed community. And
remind me, what was it that drew this Grace to you when you came to this area?
We were, before we even found a house, we started just church hopping, but this was our first church that we checked out. I just was looking places up to go. honestly.
And it had a name that sounded familiar.
Yeah, exactly. All these Graces.
My mom actually goes to Grace CMA.
Okay.
My dad goes to a different Grace that's based in Worcester. And then my in-laws go to a Grace that's based in Manchester, none of which are the same Grace family.
That's what I try to tell people. I'm like, they're not the same.
We all go to Grace, but just none of them are connected. Yes. And we have so many Graces that are connected, and they aren't. In fact, my dad, he thought he was going to a Grace connected to my Grace for a long time. I was like, no, it's actually different. Anyways.
Yes, there's a couple of people that are like, oh, yeah, I go to both. Like, I go to Grace CMA, too. I'm like, no, it is different. Yeah. I mean, they're both great churches.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, my dad goes to Grace CMA.
They probably know each other.
Yeah, yeah.
They're probably in Bible study. That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so you found Grace. You were going to church hop, and then you just church stopped and started going here.
Yep. And then a big help for me was I just jumped into leading women's fitness class, which was only the Holy Spirit, because I'm like, I can't lead. I know all this stuff. I've been working out since I was little, but how am I going to lead? But that was all the Holy Spirit's doing. And then because I'm such a perfectionist, I felt like because I wasn't an actual instructor, I wanted to go get certified. Mm-hmm. So I found Revelation Wellness, and I ended up taking that course and getting certified through that program, and that was huge.
And that's a Christ-centered fitness group. Yeah. I've followed some of their stuff. They're really awesome.
Yeah, so I highly recommend that to any ladies who just struggle with their identity, and I was just obsessed my whole life just how I looked, working out all the time for the wrong reasons, not body, mind, soul, spirit. It was just I need to look better.
Yeah.
But like for who? Like I just, yeah.
Sure. So what class do you teach with fitness, or did you?
I ended up having to say no the past year because I've just said yes to too many things. So that was, yes.
Was it like a fitness kind of?
I did more of like a strength training one.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. So I want to recommend to anybody, because they still have women's fitness classes, even if you're not leading one, that are so good. And I've done a yoga one. I did a weights one, which I had not really done a lot of weights work. And that inspired me to go get a gym membership that I went, because we only have so many a week, right? Uh-huh. And I'm like, I need to do this more, because it actually really, like you're saying, it wasn't then as much about how I'm looking, it's how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And then when you can have a soul connection like that, like Rev Wellness would have, or the Grace Fitness classes, or anything else you can seek out. That's just such an amazing, like, trifecta of ways to engage with your body.
Yeah. It's amazing, honestly. It's just a way to worship, too. Like, that was my retraining my brain when it comes to fitness. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, this is a way to worship the Lord. Mm-hmm. I like to do my morning time. Like, I work out first, and then I read my Bible, because I retain so much more, and I hear Him speaking to me more throughout it.
I'm sure that there is science behind that.
Yes, and Lisa Keaton, who runs Revelation Wellness, she has all of the science behind it.
Yes.
Yeah, so and if anyone wants to read one of her books or anything with me, let me know. Reach out.
Yes.
Would love it. Yeah. So, trying to think.
So you led a fitness group was the first way you started leading something at Grace?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And with Power Kids. I was in Power Kids. Then we led a small group, our life group, for a couple years. And it was just really just being all in for Christ and not looking back. If we're going to talk about more books, too, like, yes, the Bible, like I said, I know everything about, like, all the stories. But there has been, like, books that have helped me to just rethink my processes. And John Mark Comer, Practicing the Way, that was huge.
Yes.
Kind of what we were talked about before, just that he's my apprentice, or I'm his apprentice.
Yes.
And that's where it comes down to. I wanted to be more like him, and that's why I serve, not to get into heaven. It's just to serve, you know.
Yeah, and again, as you do those things, the understanding of why we do them becomes more natural and more organic versus forced. And sometimes we do need to just do the doing until the heart catches up with the brain. But I've done some pieces of that book, and I highly enjoy and recommend that too.
Yes, that was awesome as well. And then the biggest thing I would say is, like, our marriage, God completely redeemed our marriage. Mm-hmm. That has been the hardest thing to deal with the past 5 years through all this. Like, yes, I'm right with Christ now and have a great relationship, But now it was just like retraining our brains to what marriage and sex looked like. Mm-hmm. Julie Slattery, all of her mm-hmm. books and podcasts have been a huge help mm-hmm. Because marriage is so hard mm-hmm. and our world has distorted it in so many different ways. And we just didn't know how to go about it, honestly. And even just how to have a Christ-centered marriage now, because it was not before, and now it is. And that's hard. Like, we've been together for almost 17 years, so how do you retrain and work through that?
And it's possible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It has. Like, it's completely different mm-hmm. compared to 5 years ago. Not perfect, of course. Mm-hmm. Still working on stuff.
Yeah. Well, and so you need to have your journey.
Yeah.
And he needs to have his journey. Mm-hmm. And then together you have to have your journey. And Jesus needs to be at the center of all of it. Because mm-hmm. if you were doing anything to earn Tim or win Tim or reject Tim or whatever that could look like, and he's same to you, if he's just trying to earn, win, and please you, that's temporal. That's mm-hmm. fleeting. That's surely going to fail at some point because we're human beings. But if we're doing this just for Jesus, Leanne Radel, and in fact, her story has a lot of this similar pieces in it as well. So if anybody's listening, grab hers mm-hmm. as well. Listen to her podcast as well if this is resonating. But she talks about, if you're both moving toward Jesus mm-hmm. in a triangle, like if you're far apart, if you're like that day that mm-hmm. you said, I told him we're either roommates or we're ending this. Mm-hmm. You're pretty far apart at that point. And if you're both seeking Jesus, you naturally move toward one another
yes.
until that triangle meets that point where you're serving him together, but not because of one another, because of Christ alone.
Exactly.
And your desire for him first.
Yeah.
I always like, think of it like, you can pursue me, to my husband, I'll say, you can pursue me, but just below how much you're pursuing God. Like,
yeah.
I want you to pursue me. That's wonderful. But always just make sure you're pursuing God
yeah.
more.
Yep. Exactly.
So what else within that, like how, if we're thinking about women that might be hearing this or husbands mm-hmm. who might be hearing mm-hmm. this and thinking, gosh, I could do some work there. Like, is there any playbooks that you would recommend, things you did that you wish you hadn't or in a different order? You talked about counseling, you talked about books, you talked about classes and things like that. What are some more things that you've journeyed through within that?
At least for me, it's been communication, just being very honest and open. And I've had to break down a lot of barriers, like my personal sin. Like, I'll just admit, like, I was very prideful, self-righteous. Mm-hmm. Like, my way was the best, like, mm-hmm. even with raising our kids, because I had all this bitterness towards them mm-hmm. that, no, like, I'm the one who does all the research, so this is how we're going to raise our kids. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you say, basically. Mm-hmm. So now that we've been going through this healing process and being more like Christ, I have had to break down all those barriers mm-hmm. and just communicate and forgive a lot of forgiveness and we have to forgive over and over and over again every single day because we are both sinners married to one another and making it work at the same time I feel like too because he has put in such hard work. I mean, now he's in full-time ministry. Like, he's completely done a 180. Mm-hmm. Then I admit, like, I still am working through the healing process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody said to me once, you're not, when you've gone through trauma, when you've gone through a hard thing, you're not recovered. You're not like, oh, no, I'm recovered now.
Mm-hmm.
You're in recovery from that. And there's so many things. That could be the loss of a parent. It could be the loss of a child, the loss of a dream. You know, we always talked about that at Grace, right? What's your trauma? We could probably all identify something. This is your thing, and you're recovering from it, and the daily forgiveness and the triggers that might mm-hmm. occur that make one day harder than the other. And I appreciate this conversation so much because it helps me even, and I'm guessing other people listening, to think, oh, okay, that this behavior is, I don't want to call it normal, but it's expected in this scenario. And Satan might want to be saying, like, this is mm-hmm. so terrible, and you're the only one that's ever felt this way, and mm-hmm. he's going to whisper these things to you. But knowing, like, I'm learning, oh, gosh, my sister here has gone through this. I've gone through my own certain things, and I don't know why that gives me a little bit of relief in my heart. So I
because we all go through, I mean, marriage is hard. I mean, ask anyone, even if, like, Christ-centered ones, you're going to go through struggles. Like,
yeah,
Jesus told us we're going to go through struggles, and keeping it in and not talking about it, that's where the enemy wants us.
That's so true. In the dark, mm-hmm. where bacteria can grow and fester and kill, honestly.
Yeah. Yep.
So. Okay, so you went through those counselings, those classes, and things like that. You're still working on it. Tim, you both really have transformed, mm-hmm. even starting at your baptism, which I wanted to talk about too. Like, when we had that sermon recently, and I'll encourage anyone listening to, I keep saying listen to other stuff, but listen to the Jeff sermon.
You're speaking my language. That we had
on baptism recently, because that, man, blew the doors off of my mind. Thinking about baptism, like, you believed in God your whole life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's probably not a time you didn't know God and believe in Him. Mm-hmm. Did you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Maybe not. Did you know you were supposed to? Maybe not for a while. Mm-hmm. But then baptism, like, I always have thought, and I'm, like, really even still understanding where that fits in the becoming a Christian or being saved and in the redemption story. And the way that Jeff explained it as, it's like there's just another layer that can be unlocked. And I, in my own mind, it's like unfinished business maybe is a phrase for it. Maybe that's the wrong words. But, like, there's just still, there's more. And there's always more. Even once you're baptized, there's still more. And if you don't ever get baptized, that's, you can still, right. like, your place in heaven is secure for sure if you put your faith in Jesus. But there is something more once you've been baptized, right? Like, that happened for you.
Yeah. Well, that was in 2016.
Yeah.
And then last January, I think it was, that we spontaneously got rebaptized because we are completely different people than we were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Tim felt the Holy Spirit just calling him up there to be baptized, and then I followed suit because I'm more of the, okay, yeah, I probably, I feel it, but I just needed that push because we were totally different. So Jeff's like, that's okay.
You're
just rededicating.
He talked about that too. Mm-hmm. And kind of like, we always in this videos, the pre-videos talk about it being like a marriage ring that you're proclaiming to the world. Mm-hmm. Like, are you married? Sure you are. Like, again, your place in heaven is secure. Your faith and all that is secure. However, by proclaiming it out like that, but if one, you didn't really have that faith and you didn't know it when that was done. For example, if you were like 9 and you just kind of like didn't know, or there was some kind of like a cloud that you were in sin or you were being, you know, Satan is tricky, something like that. And so you can be rebaptized if you're making a new statement, a new stamp in the ground. I love in the Old Testament how they say like, and I built an altar of remembrance. This major thing happened. I built an altar of remembrance because that something changed. God moved, and I wanted to always come back and see these rocks. You know, that's all they had at their disposal at the time. And that's a little bit like this too. Is it's like a altar of remembrance. It's a stamp in the ground. It's saying I can look at this date, and know that something new happened.
And that rededication that we had was we're never looking back. Like he's completely changed our lives, like everything about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, even I wanted to mention something else, like just putting my faith in Christ now and just walking with Him on a daily basis. Like, I used to be the most anxious person you knew. Like, I worried about everything. It would take me hours to fall asleep. I was always a worrywart. And the past couple of years, it's completely gone. Like, I was even on meds at one point for depression and anxiety, but I was able to wean off of those, and I have none of that. I'm just so grateful and just thankful for the Lord. Just
our healer, our counselor.
Yeah.
I mean, He is in all of those things in the most ultimate way.
Yeah.
And He gives us the gift of one another to have that tangibly here on earth too. So there's nothing wrong with medication.
Nope,
there's nothing wrong with a counselor. There's nothing wrong with a doctor or any form of these medical innovations that God has allowed. And He is the ultimate of all of those things. And we have access to both of those.
Yeah. You mean just a couple of years, I think 3 years ago, Tim and I had 3 miscarriages in a row, back to back. And if that would have happened, I don't know how I would have handled it if I did not, not following Christ. It was just a very dark time, but I had such an overwhelming peace. Mm. And I can talk about it now. It's pretty early on I was able to talk about it because it's healing to discuss it with one another because it's so common, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But he just, it was not in his plan, and we were at total peace with it.
So, you know, I think that's a really good point about talking about it with others too, because a miscarriage can be like that. Again, Satan could want you to stay quiet mm-hmm. about that and let that eat away at you, and similar with marriage and mm-hmm. sin and all these things that can come between us. And I love that you're opening up like this. I'm guessing your life group was a piece of that story mm-hmm. as well, or the people from that,
yeah.
because that's how we support. That's like literally what life group is for. It's
yeah.
baby showers, it's memorials mm-hmm. and everything in between that we can do for one another in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. So anyone out there, if you want to grab a cup of coffee, go on a walk, discuss any of these hard issues, mm-hmm. I'm all for it. Don't keep it in.
Yeah.
Don't hide it. That's what the enemy wants, like I said before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we have an email address. This is how you can get a hold of Kayla. Grab her in the lobby if you see her. We
yep.
have a
here all the time.
A picture with her unscripted here. But if you can't grab her, you can email us at unscripted@graceohio.org. And if you email that email address, then we can get you in touch with her, with me, with anyone on staff. We have a whole care ministry here at Grace, because there are so many hurts, hang-ups, habits, and things that we just need to literally process, work through, admit, mm-hmm. confess, repent. You know, sin can be things that you've done. It can be things that have been done to you.
Mm-hmm.
And all of it hurts. And God doesn't want that for us. And you talked about forgiveness
mm-hmm.
and his forgiveness to us daily. And we can have that for one another if we put in that effort and that work and give it to Christ, who really can be the only one to carry it across the line.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yes. If there's anything that you want, like somebody that might have some goosebumps or maybe some tears in the corner of their eyes right now that's listening, anything that you'd want them to know or share as we kind of wrap up here?
That you're not alone.
Yeah.
God loves you so, so much. He is with you, even though you might not be able to feel it right now. Those darkest times are the times that we just are not able to see him, and that's okay. That's what community's for.
Mm-hmm.
So please just reach out. Don't hesitate. Just pick up that phone and contact mm-hmm. us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I can think of days that I couldn't even bring myself to say the words like that mm-hmm. I want to try to heal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want it because I was yeah. so angry or in so much pain. And then there's the days that I could mm-hmm. release a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's when healing can start. But it's if you're sitting in that day that you're like, I can't even draw myself to try, that's probably the most important day
yeah.
to like just say something out loud you've never said out loud before to someone you trust
yeah.
who loves the Lord.
That can be so freeing.
It is. It freedom.
It's freedom. Yeah.
Freedom is on the other side.
Yes.
And
I think that's the main word
it.
With all this is just having freedom in Christ.
Yeah.
In Christ alone.
Well, Kayla, I have a feeling you're going to have a good song to add to
well,
the
it's actually
playlist.
It's called I Am Not Alone by Carrie Job.
Oh, okay. Tell me more.
Here, I could just read one of the lyrics
since
I brought it. When I walk through deep waters, I know that you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I know you will be over me. Through the valley of shadow, I will not fear. I am not alone. You will go before me, and you will never leave me.
Mm. Carrie knows how to say
yeah.
it, man.
Yeah. She's always been one of my go-to people.
So much
before she was even, like, semi-popular.
Exactly.
I went to Grace CMA Church to actually see her.
I was there.
You were there.
Yes.
Oh,
I got the Lion sweatshirt from it. It was so
That's
good.
Super, that was forever
yes,
ago.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I think I was right out of college or something. That was a long time ago.
She, there's so much scripture in her
yes.
music, especially her early stuff,
mm-hmm.
I'd say.
Yes.
Like,
more
almost
of her early
like,
stuff.
You know, kind of deep cut. Things uh-huh. that you're listening and you're like, I respect this, but I can't wait to hear the song. And I'm
yeah.
sure that I've heard it because you're saying these words and I feel
yes.
like but
it was
not,
at that concert, I'm sure.
This is not like one of her radio
know.
Hits though, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this
yeah.
is so good. And so what we're talking about right now, I didn't even premise this, but if you're a first-time listener, we have a worship playlist because, one, I love worship music, and, two, it helps tell stories. And as people share these stories, and it's like, was there a song that helped you through that? Is there a song that can help portray what you're trying to explain to us here? And this one sounds perfect. I'm Not Alone,
yep.
Carrie Job. So if you go to Spotify and look up Unscripted Worship, you'll find our playlist there. This song will be on it, as well as every other song that our guests have added.
Awesome.
It's a really good playlist.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to this on my drive home.
All right.
Kayla, this has been so good. For my heart and soul, things I needed to hear, and I hope that our listeners feel the same, and just grateful for you, grateful for the way that you serve here at Grace, and Tim as well, and your family. Increasingly, your sacrifice, which will be increasing as the sports ministry continues to take over your world, but it sounds like you're exactly where you need to be.
Oh, yeah. And we appreciate you, Audrey.
Thanks. Yes.